I'm going to preach from John 13 this morning. Who can I get someone to read John 13 for us? Anyone want to read it for us? Who's a better reader than me? Who wins the prize of the best reader in the room? Pauline, yeah, you can come. It's all right. I've got it here. So all you need to do is read down there and then just swipe that way and that'd be good. Thank you.
John 13, starting from verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture, 'He who shared my bread has turned against me.' I'm telling you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." The disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to the disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will only be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter answered, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.
Thank you, Pauline. Very well done. Sandra. Yeah, don't do anything good in this place. If you want to be volunteered for anything. There's so much in this passage, but I just want to focus on this idea. And Jesus said it at the end, and he really hangs some stories around this whole thing. When he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What does it mean to love? What does love look like? This passage works it through a couple of scenarios, and we see a picture of how Jesus manages situations and people. John 13 takes place in the Last Supper just before Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. It's a deep, intimate and emotional setting. And Jesus is spending his final evening with his disciples, preparing them for his departure. And in this scene, he washes his feet. He predicts the betrayal of Judas. And he tells the remaining, and he also predicts the betrayal of other disciples and how they are connecting with him. And he tells the remaining disciples that he's about to leave. And this atmosphere is an atmosphere of farewell and love and also a sense of vulnerability. Imagine Jesus sitting around with his disciples going through these things. And there's some challenging thoughts here. I don't know. You imagine sitting around having a family dinner and bringing up all this stuff. A new command I give to you, love one another. And at first this might sound like a new commandment, but what makes this command new is the standard and source of this love. He says this, as I have loved you, that's his basis, as I have loved you. And he paints this picture here, showing them what love looks like. And it's an extraordinary amount of affection and kindness. And if you like, Jesus raises the bar of what love looks like. It's selfless, it's sacrificial, and it's unconditional. And it's a love that washes feet. It's a love that forgives betrayal and denial. And it's a love that goes to the cross. You want to come and play? It's a love that washes feet. It's a love that forgives betrayal and denial. It's a love that will within hours go to the cross. It's the towel, it's the table, and it's the tree. And by this, everyone will know you're my disciples. And this is striking. Jesus doesn't say you'll recognize his followers by the miracles, by the preaching, by theology, by the worship style. You'll recognize him by the love that you have for one another. This is the visible action of discipleship. Love is meant to be a mark of our identity. And when believers truly love one another, it becomes a living witness of what Jesus is like and who he is. So if you go to the next slide, the first slide. No. That's it. Love that lowers itself, the towel. The disciples have gathered for the Passover. Normally a servant would wash the guest's feet, a task considered so menial and degrading that even Jewish slaves would often exempt from it. But not this night. Not this time. No one offered. So Jesus comes in, got up, took his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, and began to wash their feet. And he says this, servant is greater than his master. No task is beneath you. Isn't that the message? No task is beneath. This is the upside down kingdom. He's the king. He should be served. But no, what does he do? He shows love by serving. Is there any task that's beneath us? I don't know. Henry Nguyen said, the great paradox which Scripture reveals to us that's real and total freedom is only found through downward mobility. The divine way is in the way downward. It's about reaching down. And John tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It says in John 13, verse 1, and this phrase to the end means to utmost or completely and in full measure. By taking the role of a servant, Jesus demonstrated humility and self-giving love in action. And he was saying, if I, your Lord, am willing to stoop this low for you, then there is no act of service too small, no person too low for you to love. He's setting the standard. Jesus turns the power upside down, and true love does not cling to privilege. It takes a towel and gets on its knees. And this wasn't just symbolic, it was a foreshadow of the cross, because there too Jesus stooped even lower, washing not feet but hearts with his own blood. You know, love gives up status and pride. When you decided to become a believer, you entered into a different kingdom. Not the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of God, where it's all upside down than the kingdom of this world. Where love gives up status and pride, love chooses humility over recognition, and true greatness is found by serving and not being served. Well, imagine we lived a world like that, where we weren't seeking status or pride, or we weren't seeking position or power. I'm always fascinated by this picture. It's ingrained in our culture. Some people are nice to me. They don't think the pastor should be doing certain things. And they come and go, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be vacuuming. You shouldn't be doing that. It's funny, I meet a lot of people, you know, who come through Kingsway Care, and when they find out I'm the pastor or I'm the general manager and I'm down there doing things, they're like, why? You're somebody. It's inbuilt in our culture, and this is the power of the witness, right? Is when the person who shouldn't be doing it is doing it, then you will know that we are his disciples, right? By the love that you have for one another. When you stoop down, that is our witness, not our preaching, not our kind of, you know, it's our witness, is our serving. How can we out-serve each other? That's the question. I don't know about you, but I don't want status. I don't want recognition. You know, Jesus has served me enough that I can serve others freely. This one's a cracker. This is a killer, this next one. What does love look like? It stoops down, it serves, it lets go of position and power. The next one here is about, you go to the next slide. It's the table. He's sitting around the table. Within hours of his act of service, Jesus experienced the deepest of human betrayals, where two of his closest companions, Judas — Jesus knew Jesus would betray. Imagine sitting at the dinner table knowing that there's someone who's going to betray you. Like, betrayal is hard enough finding out after the effect. And imagine having someone before you that's about to betray you, yet Jesus still chose to wash his feet. He chose to share bread with him, a gesture of friendship and intimacy, and addressed him gently, calling him friend, even as Jesus approached him in the garden. This is self-giving, choosing to love even when those around you have wounded you. Now, some might say love that forgives betrayal is naive, but I think it's divine. That's what makes us so different. That's what's so reckless about the love of Christ, is that we have capacity to forgive those who no one else would forgive. And forgive doesn't necessarily mean that you will forget, but that you don't hold that grudge against them. In a sense, you let go and let God do his work. And Peter's denial, you know, Peter, who would have thought? Full of promise, you know, declares that he would never abandon Jesus, but when he's under the pump, it's exactly what he does. Yet Jesus restores him, not with shame, but with grace, and entrusts Peter with leadership and purpose. And this shows that Jesus' love never gives up. It forgives, it restores, and reclaims the fallen. Philip Yancey said, grace means there is nothing you can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. It's just such a powerful thing. I mean, there are people who have hurt you, and the power of your witness is the ability to forgive those people, to love those people anyway. Something is screwing in your heart right now, going, you are pushing me beyond my capacity. You are thinking of people that have betrayed you, have let you down, disappointed you, hurt you, and you're thinking, not on my watch. And I'm saying, yeah, you can't do it. It's this kind of love is a demonstration of the witness of God in our life. This kind of love is the miraculous, it's the divine. It's not natural, it's supernatural. When you enter into that space, you go, wow, I'm walking in Christ now. Because I'm not doing it out of my own strength. I'm not doing it out of my own witness and my own ability. I'm stepping into some sort of divine, miraculous calling where I have the capacity to do things I wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And Jesus is saying, this is what love looks like. Love looks like get down on your knees. Don't look for position or power. Don't look for that. Just serve and wash each other's feet and serve one another. It means forgiving each other. People have betrayed you, let you down. Sit at the table. And don't be offended when someone lets you down or betrays you. But restore them and forgive them. It's giving without expecting anything in return. Jesus didn't need anything from them, therefore he was able to serve them. It's a pretty powerful message. Love keeps serving even when it's not reciprocated. And love forgives betrayal and denial, choosing restoration over revenge. And Jesus' love is not based on others' worthiness, but on his own character. I'm not saying it's hard. I am saying it's miraculous. And so when he says, you will be known by the love that you have for one another, we are stepping into some sort of miraculous. He's not talking about loving people that you like. Loving people that you get on with. Loving people that you are easy to love. He's saying if you want to step into the miraculous witness of God, you're going to start serving and loving and forgiving and restoring people that you would never otherwise do. This is crazy love. This is crazy talk. But it's powerful, hey? And the witness is people come up to you and go, how can you just let that go? How can you serve? Aren't you the pastor? Aren't you the leader? Aren't you the CEO or whatever? Aren't you meant to be doing that? You shouldn't be sweeping. It's like, well, yes, I should. I'm happy to serve. That's the witness of God. So the final thing is he talks about going to the tree. Brennan Manning said this, Jesus on the cross is a picture of God who would rather die than stop loving us. Everything in the gospel, in John's gospel, is the ultimate demonstration of this self-giving love. Jesus' willingness to lay down his life by a bunch of people who mocked him, beat him, flogged him, crucified him, humiliated him, tortured him, and yet he remains silent and never retaliates. And he says this, "Father, forgive them because they have no idea what they're doing." He sees something that they're not seeing. And then in his final moments, he says it's finished, meaning the work of redemption, the full expression of his divine love is complete. Nothing more could be given. Nothing more could be done. And this is the pattern of love that Jesus commands his disciples to imitate. A love that doesn't just feel, but gives. It doesn't just serve, but it sacrifices. The towel, the table, the tree, all point to the same truth, and that love gives itself away for the sake of others. So Jesus showed us what it looks like through this passage. There's so much more into it. There's so many other tangents you could go on with this passage. But I want us to say, as a family and as a church, we will continue to give and serve and love and just absolutely recklessly believe in people that may not like us. People might accuse us. People might betray us. People might hurt us. And we will keep loving. Why? Because we step into the miraculous way of God loving us, and we're not expecting anything in return. We're not expecting anything from them. We're literally getting under the flow of Holy Spirit, and we are pouring out love because that's the way he loved us, and that's how we demonstrate we are his. And it's hard, but it's also a blessing because it's miraculous. Jesus showed us what love looks like through these three acts. The towel he stooped to serve, showing love and humility. The table he welcomed, even the undeserving, even the disappointing, the discouraging, the hopeless, showing them love in grace. And the tree he gave his life, showing love in sacrifice. And he said this, after he took the towel, after he shared the table, after he talked about the tree, he said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." That was his response. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." He's saying, if you take the towel, if you can sit at the table, and if you can sacrifice yourself, as I have loved you, you love one another, and by this, everyone will know you're my disciples. You represent me in the world. That's what love looks like. The world will see Jesus not through our words or programs, but in the way that we serve and welcome and sacrifice the people around us. So may we be people of the towel, people of the table, people of the tree, living out a love that is marked, tattooed on us by the way that Jesus loves us. He set the ultimate example. I love what Jesus says, you know. He looked at the crowd in Matthew 9. He looked at the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had a way of putting on a new lens where he could see he could see the pain, and he could see the challenge, and he could see the what he was offering, and he was bringing a savior into the world. He saw the lostness, and I think that is the key to loving people, is that when you can see the lostness in the world and you see the richness of the love that you have, then it's more than you realize you can give it freely. So if we're known for anything, that we would be marked by a deep love that we have for people. And if you want to know how to love people, start serving them. Figure out a way to serve them. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes you require us to step into a miraculous way of living. But the gift is the Holy Spirit who gives us capacity to do it. Lord, we don't want to just come to church. We don't just want to be hearers of the word but not doers. And this is where you're challenging us to activate a love that is so powerful that it changes the world around us. So Holy Spirit, I pray that the people would look at the love that we offer people and they would be overwhelmed, that they would see Jesus through what we're doing. That we would be so kind, that we'd be so generous, that we'd be so forgiving. That we wouldn't seek power, prestige, or position, but we would seek to love you and love others in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Does anyone else want to add anything? Did I cover everything? Sure.
I just read a quote in my devotion this morning, which well, I think ties beautifully into this. Somebody named A.B. Simpson wrote, "For God is looking not for great people, but for people who will dare to prove the greatness of their God."
I don't know if everyone's stunned. Stretched. I hope we're stretched. Yeah. When we're stretched, it's opportunity of our Holy Spirit in and go, hey, do the work, because I can't do it. I can't do it. Awesome.